Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, starting at verse 5. And here we have some of Jesus' teaching about prayer. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's pray together as we begin our meditation. Father God, we pray that you will teach us how prayer can help us to grow. Grow more like you, we pray. Teach us your ways, for Jesus' sake. Amen. This morning, then, we're looking at how prayer can help us to grow. This is part of an occasional series that we're doing on growth in our church. Growth, that is, in individual believers, in our church family, and beyond our church family, as we take God's truth to those outside of our church family. It's growth in all of those three areas. This morning, Nick has asked me to focus our discussions on the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray. As we begin the Lord's Prayer, we find ourselves before our Father who is in heaven. Now, that little sentence tells us a lot. Prayer brings us, first of all, into fellowship with God. It tells us that God is our Father, and since he's our Father, that we, his children, will display his likeness. That's what happens in families. And the family home for the believer is not here on earth, but in heaven. We then come to his name. Now that's kind of code, really. It's code for his real, true nature. And we pray that his name will be honoured or hallowed, that we, his people, and that our world ultimately might honour him as he deserves. And we pray that his kingdom would come, that his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But we know, don't we, that here on earth his name is not hallowed, his kingdom is not recognised, his will ignored. Now, the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray describes a journey. A journey which is undertaken by every believer, a journey that ends in heaven, enjoying uninhibited fellowship with our Father, but it clearly begins here on earth. And we're asking ourselves this morning how prayer can help us grow, how we can develop, how we can get to know God better. And I want you to see that through the Lord's Prayer, there is a path. The journey of life seems to wind through the Lord's Prayer. Well, since the journey starts here on earth, we see clearly, if we're going to end up in heaven, that we need to be transformed, prepared to enjoy fellowship with our Father. We need to be made ready to live with him, transformed into his likeness. And those are the burdens of the second half of the prayer to which we now turn. Here on earth, we find ourselves in need of God's sustaining, on life's journey, his forgiveness, his guidance. Ultimately, we look to take our place as his subjects in his kingdom. And our presence in heaven will reveal his glory, the glory of his true nature, his sacrificial love for you and me, his people. And that will be so forever and ever. Amen. Well, the Lord's Prayer tells us that life is not meaningless. Life has a purpose. Life has a direction. Life has a destination. Prayer is vital to make sense of life. Prayer is crucial to the decisions that we take in life. If our lives are to bear eternal value, have eternal significance, then we need to come to God to seek his guidance. It tells us that prayer prepares us for the destination of life's journey, that prayer, in other words, helps us grow, to develop, to mature as individuals, as a church family, and of course, as we seek to share God's truth with others. As we consider the journey of life as outlined in the Lord's Prayer, we look first at the provision of guidance and protection on the journey, and then at the resources available to sustain us on the journey. So first of all, deliverance. We will explore these issues from the sentence, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Our Lord invites us to pray for God's leading. "Lead us," he says. For any journey into the unknown, we need directions. We need someone who knows the destination, someone who sees the dangers ahead and is able to deliver us from those dangers. And we need to learn that dependence that we need on our guide. We need directions. The guide must know the path. He must know the direction that we need to take if we're going to arrive at the destination. Our Lord tells us that he is the good shepherd. His sheep, he says, listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he says, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Deliverance. The guide we need must know the dangers that we face. He must have the power to deliver us from those dangers. Our Lord invites us to pray that God will not lead us into temptation. Now, the journey of life leads us to our Father in heaven, and the dangers we face are not those primarily of poverty, ill health, or family tragedy. Now, these are disasters, inevitably, that hurt us very deeply. But the focus of our prayer is our preparation for heaven. And each of these disasters, in turn, demand a response. And it is in those disasters that we, as believers, find the closeness of our Father. But the dangers that slow our progress towards heaven are in the form of temptations. Temptations which the evil one puts in our path to trip us up. Temptations which God can use to help us to mature. That's what God does. He uses what Satan seeks to do for the good of his people. But in order to do so, we need to commit our path to him. This is how prayer helps us to grow. Our prayer is that God will lead us to avoid the danger of temptation. But temptation, as we know, is part of fallen life. And in meeting it, we need to cry to God for deliverance from the evil into which temptation would lure us. The guide we need must have the power to deliver us from the danger that temptations pose. The writer to the Hebrews says this. He says, "Our Lord suffered when he was tempted, and he is able to help those who are being tempted." But the big lesson, you know, that we need to learn is that of dependence. Our guide is one on whom we can trust. He knows how to direct us on life's journey. He can deliver us from its dangers, but we need to put our hand in his. We need to learn dependence. Prayer unlocks the resources of heaven. Prayer unlocks the resources of heaven as we take our journey of life. Prayer is the expression of our dependence on God for those resources. We cannot expect, can we, to develop in our journey of faith without prayer. Prayer for every step of the journey of our lives. Prayer that recognizes that the will of God is actually the best for us, that his will be done on earth in our own lives as it is in heaven, that his kingdom would come here and now in our own lives. All this so that we are prepared for the time when Jesus returns and every knee will bow to him, when his kingdom is finally recognized, when his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For this, we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit and his indwelling power as he transforms us step by step into the likeness of Christ on the journey of life. We need to learn dependence. But the journey of life, let's face it, is long and hard. And if we're to depend on God for his guidance and deliverance from danger, we need to know that his care will last lifelong. We need the reassurance of his sustaining power. And for this, we turn to the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. If prayer is to help us to grow, we need to learn how it will not only sustain us, but also help us to develop. And as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're reminded of the constant miraculous provision of God for his people in the wilderness. As they walked through the wilderness, they were provided, weren't they, with manna. And as they neared the end of their journey, Moses reminded them of this. It's Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. He says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you, and this is the important bit, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. You see, we're asking God to provide us with the necessary resources to keep us alive physically. God is concerned with our physical welfare. You know, if coronavirus teaches us anything, it teaches us that life is unpredictable. And for those of us who are believers, that our times are in the hands of our God. But the prayer relates to more than physical necessities. As Moses said, God teaches us that man does not live by bread alone. And Jesus said, didn't he, that I am the bread of life. And by life, Jesus meant not just physical life, because do you remember how he defined life in John 17:3? He said this, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. You see, he defined life in terms of a relationship with God. The word for daily in this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, actually poses the experts considerable difficulty. It's a word, you see, which is not found in any other Greek literature. I'd like to offer you the meaning that most appealed to me from me, a layman's review of the experts' material. Kenneth Bailey suggests that it means, give us this day the bread that won't run out. I thought that was rather good. Give us this day the bread that won't run out. Now that fits perfectly, doesn't it, with the idea of manna, and implies a miraculous provision customized to the needs of God's people. Prayer, I repeat, is the key that unlocks the resources of heaven. It opens the door to the daily provision for which God wants us to learn to depend upon him. No prayer, no growth. No prayer, no development. James says, you have not because you ask not. Well now, let's pull this together. How does prayer then help us to grow? We're exploring, remember, how prayer helps us to grow as individuals, as a church family, and beyond that, as we take God's truth to those outside. But first of all, then, for us as individual believers, the prayer our Lord taught us identifies that life has meaning, purpose, direction, destination. In prayer, as we pray, we come to learn to see life from God's viewpoint. As I pray, so I discover that in opening my heart to my Heavenly Father, that prayer kind of penetrates my deepest desires and contrasts them with those of my Father. I see the need to be more and more committed to the hallowing of his name, the desire to see his kingdom come, to want his will to be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. And as we espouse God's plan and purpose for our lives, so we discover, don't we, that prayer is vital for our growth. Prayer unlocks the resources necessary for life's journey. Peter, in his writing, writes this. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need, all the resources we need. Prayer teaches me my need of his sustaining, God's guiding, God's protection on life's journey. It teaches me to be dependent on my Heavenly Father. But above all, prayer warms my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I think that's important. The other day, I asked my 10-year-old granddaughter why she thought God wanted us to talk to him. It's an interesting question. God knows more about me than I know myself. He's not looking for information transfer. So why does he desire me to talk to him? Well, I'll tell you what she said. She said, because we are his children. Any parent loves it when their children want to talk to them, don't they? And prayer, you see, is not a ritual. It's a vital ingredient in the development of our relationship with God. And the same applies as we ask how prayer helps us to grow as a church family. In praying together, we're encouraging each other as we pray our heart's desires for our church family. And God loves to hear his people coming together to seek his guidance and empowering as the church family develops. And as we see together answers to prayers that we've made together, so we are further encouraged. How does prayer enable the kingdom of God to grow outside the church family? Well, Mark Buchanan writes an excellent book called Your God is Too Safe, in which he quotes Revelation 5 and verse 8. He says it. The apostle here is describing four living creatures and 24 elders as they fell down before the Lamb. Each one, he says, had a harp and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, Buchanan enjoys the fact that the prayers of the saints are like a perfume arising to the very presence of God. He thinks it's great that the throne room is fragranced with the prayers of God's people, that they really do reach heaven. But then he says this, but actually that also is precisely what troubles me about prayer, he says, because I don't want to see prayer as just vapor, perfume. Then he turns on a couple of chapters to chapter 8 of Revelation and reads this. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Buchanan says this. He says the perfume becomes bombs. Prayer is not just vapor. It may seem like that. It seemed like that for Abraham, waiting 25 years for a promised son. It seemed like that for Hannah, pleading for a Samuel. It seemed like that for Job, yearning to hear from God. And it seems like that for many of us as we plead for our loved ones to become Christians. But that vapor engulfs the very throne of God. And in his hands, that vapor becomes bombs. How does prayer help us to grow? It helps us to see life as God sees it. It opens our eyes to his concerns. It brings our aspirations in line with his. It opens the door of heaven to the resources we need on life's journey. It enjoys talking with the one who wants to hear us because we are his children. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that we're your children. We thank you so much that we can call you our Heavenly Father. Prepare us to meet with you, we pray, and teach us on life's journey that we need to depend upon you for the resources we need. For Jesus' sake, amen. God bless you.